Welcome to How to Make It Work, the radio show and podcast where we dive into real stories of people making life work in their own unique way. I'm your host, Annika. Let's get started. Welcome back to How to Make It Work. Today, we're joined by one of Raglan's artists, Miranda Jane Caird. Miranda has spent over 2 decades painting full-time. Her work captures the stillness, color, and spirit of our landscape. Today, we will explore her journey and her creative life working from her batch out at Whale Bay. Stay tuned to find out what it means to live entirely through art. Hi, Miranda. Thanks for coming to my show.
Ah, thank you for having me.
So I usually start out asking my guests what brought you to Raglan, because you're originally from the North Island, but...
Yeah. My first home was Kaitiki when I was a really young child, which is down 10k off the main road between Taumarunui and National Park. I was a very young child when we moved to Hamilton. And as we all know, the best thing about Hamilton is Raglan.
Totally, yes.
And my family had a batch out here in Whale Bay, actually, which sort of seemed in the middle of nowhere at the time. But a beautiful, wild place and definitely my happy place in childhood. So, yeah, that's how my love of Raglan started out.
And you also exhibited during the Raglan Arts Weekend, and I actually went up there to your batch. That's where your studio is and where you paint. And the view is so amazing. You can look right onto, is it Indies, the surf break, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, so, you can sort of see from outsides, actually from the section in different parts, you can see from outsides all the way through to the takeoff zone at Wales. So, yeah, wow. It's pretty cool.
And what has changed since?
It's interesting because not much has changed once I'm in the batch or from the deck in the view. Not much has changed in that way, except there's more vegetation than there used to be, which is a good thing, and way more bird life because there's more vegetation. When I was a child, it was more like paddocks with some tin and fibre shacks dotted around. And I think really the only substantial home I can remember initially was Mrs. Calvert's brick house up the back. So, it's definitely changed, and there's a whole lot more vegetation around and a lot more bird life coming down into the subdivision. But down on the road has really changed. It used to be a metal road, so it was quite a long journey out to Whale Bay in my childhood, and it was a metal, windy metal road that got really corrugated in summer. So now it's kind of like, yeah, I guess it's sort of a parallel with what's happened with surfing. The road is now sealed all the way, and the car park is always full. if there's any surf at all. And we always had people that came from all around the world, or maybe more Americans than anyone else back in the day. But now, there's people from all around the world and the car park is full and busy. But once I'm up on the batch, I'm not really aware of that. So, there's some things that have changed dramatically and some things that haven't really changed at all.
Were you there when they filmed Endless Summer in the 60s?
No. I was born in 64.
Oh, yeah, the same year.
More of a 70s childhood.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, interesting. It's so interesting also to hear how things are changing over time and that surf has made it so busy these days.
Yeah, I mean, it was it was not mainstream. It was not mainstream in the 70s. And surf culture has really changed. It used to be, I would say, more whimsical and adventurous in some ways, but also more misogynistic, I'd have to say. Whereas now it's perfectly acceptable for girls to be surfing. So that's something that's really changed for the better on that score, yeah.
Do you surf or have you experienced any misogynistic behaviour?
Oh, yeah, I've experienced lots of misogynistic behaviour to the point where I didn't really want to surf.
Yeah.
I never really learned how to surf. I can ride. I got to where I could ride a wave, but that was about it. And I decided to go snowboarding instead because there's a whole mountain to snowboard on. And you don't, there's nothing territorial about it. And there's no competitive. I'm not a competitor. I don't. I actually don't like competing. Even if I can win, I don't like competing. Yeah, I'm not into competition at all. I'm much more of an inclusive person. And I found that a little bit difficult about surf culture, to be honest.
I think you're not alone. I think a lot of women feel the same.
Yeah, but my son loves to surf, and his experience of it was completely different to mine. So when Zach and his mates were really little, I took them on the little right-hander going into the lagoon. And then nobody else was surfing that, so that was all good. You know, the kids loved that. And then once they graduated to Whale Bay, I used to also at the beach, and we used to have surfing at school when Zach was at school in the primary years.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we'd go surfing down at the beach when they were still quite little. Which was a lot of fun. And then, but once he'd graduated to Whale Bay, to the Point Breaks, that was the end of me. I didn't. I'd done my job. So he went to the Surf Academy for school, and he really enjoyed it. And then he went on to be a, he spent a year training as a dive instructor.
Yeah. That's so cool. Is he still in Raglan? Maybe he wants to come to my show.
No, he's come. I'm so excited because he's turning up on Thursday from Australia. He's been in Australia for probably 10 years, and he's turning up with the love of his life, Ray. So I'm really looking forward to meeting her in person. Haven't met her in person yet. And that's my boy. And I would have to say, one of the prime motivators of producing art and making it work is earning a living. So because I was parenting on my own, I could be at home and available but also earning a living. So the art worked in perfectly with that.
Interesting. We will get into that during this talk. Maybe we can start out at the beginning. How did you get into painting? Because you've been a full-time artist since 2003, right?
Yeah.
So how did you get into the painting?
Well, like most, a lot of creative people, I was drawn to expressing through visual art. You know, I can remember falling in love with it at four. So I loved it as a form of expression and just a something to do from childhood. And I loved the aloneness of it, or the... that you could withdraw and find peace. And I just loved the way that it made me feel to be making images, I guess. And, it was definitely a happy place from childhood. When I was in high school, I went down and had a look at art school in Christchurch, and... I was still in school. It was in Easter holidays. And, and I overlapped with when the art school was running. And I had people that were a year older than me that were in art school from Hamilton. And I just knew this place was not for me. I felt like it would extinguish whatever sort of fire and light I had inside of me. So I decided that I would not go to art school, and that I would carry on nurse aiding, which was a job I had as a school girl. And I used to nurse aid at a CC home and hospital on the other side of Hamilton. And I made $88 a weekend for doing that, which was enough to live on back then.
Wow, okay, interesting. It's interesting how things change. It sounds like nothing today, like these days.
Yeah, so I nurse-aided, and my plan was to come and live in the batch during the week and, you know, go into Hamilton and do nurse-aiding on the weekends and just do find my own way with the art rather than going to art school. And I sort of started out doing that. And I can remember being in the batch one day and developing my technical skills, if you like. But and I did do some courses through the Waikato Society of Arts, which was up and running then and still is. And I did an etching course and some other stuff. And I realised that I was like 18 and going, yeah, but what do I want to say? And I didn't really have anything to say, if you like. And so, yeah, then life took me in other directions. Mm-hmm. And I did major in art at Teachers College. But it took me, I realised when I'd come back to Whale Bay that it was a 20-year journey mm-hmm. back to where I had intended to start at 18 mm-hmm. with the art. And so much had changed then. And I don't know that it would have been realistic for me when I was 18, because when I was 18, most people had prints hanging on their walls in a New Zealand home. And the prints were usually like French Impressionists or an overseas artist. Very few people were making their living as artists. And the galleries were very much the gatekeepers as to who was there, and one was expected to have a degree in fine art, which I had decided was not for me. Mm. So I don't know that I would have succeeded back then, but by the time I was in my late 30s, early 40s, New Zealand had completely changed, and in terms of buying art, and a lot of homes had original art, so there was now a market for it. And the other thing that happened was the World Wide Web. So all of a sudden, our distance didn't matter so much. And in actual fact, it was very early on in 2004 that I discovered I wasn't competing in a small market, but that there was a great big world out mm-hmm. there that I could tap into via the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So I learnt that very early on and was sending paintings overseas from about 2004, a lot of the time to offshore Kiwis.
Wow, super interesting. Because how would you actually describe your art for people who have never seen any of your paintings?
I call it stylized New Zealand landscape on the whole. That's pretty much what it is. Yeah, and I think when you see my art, you can see earlier New Zealand landscape painters, Raglander in there, Robin White. I think you can see her influence in my work, and Don Binney, Rita Angus. I think you can sort of see that I'm definitely in a continuum of New Zealand landscape painters. And of course, those earlier landscape painters have, I'm sort of like seeing all these seeds they planted throughout the country. And artists in my era, I think you can see their roots in lots of their work, the landscape ones that have chosen to do landscape. Yeah,
That's actually also what caught my eye the first time I saw your paintings, because you paint a lot. Raglan is one of your motifs, and it's just so beautiful. I mean, Raglan in itself is just amazing, but actually capturing that, I think that's really special.
Yeah, I like to distill things and find the essence of something. So I'm not into capturing the light or doing something that's, that's photographic or anything like that. Realism or super realism, I'm not into any of that. It's really about catching the feeling. So it has a high emotional content, I think. And people that connect with the land connect with the work quite often, or connect with the ocean, connect with the work. So that's the sort of touch point of it, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that makes sense that most of your clients are offshore Kiwis, because I imagine they just miss New Zealand. How do they get to know about your work?
Well, ArtFind, I wouldn't say that they are the majority of the buyers now, but they certainly were in 2004.
Oh, okay.
ArtFind was a website that was sort of like the biggest art website in New Zealand. It was very well run. It was, you could curate your own page simply, and it had a huge audience worldwide audience. So I think that Kiwis offshore, like, you know, the 5-minute work break all the time, would be wanting to connect with home, and the art would come up, and then they'd just buy it. They would get in touch, and they would. It didn't have a buy now thing back then, but they would get in touch, and they would just buy it off me, and I just would stick it in New Zealand Post, and off it would go, and it just went all around the world.
That's amazing.
I didn't really question it. I just thought, yee-haw, yay, you know.
And the other,
2004. The first year, I decided to give myself 3 years as if I had gone to art school. So I had lots of friends that had gone to art school, and I asked them, shall I go to art school now that I've decided I'm going to sit down and be an artist? Because I did make a definite decision that I was going to sit down and be an artist. And I asked my friends that had gone, do I need to go to art school? Should I go to art school? And there was a resounding no. There was a resounding no from the people that I knew that had gone and said, no, you're not at this stage. You don't need to do that at all. A lot of them were working as lecturers in polytechs or universities or running large things like art museums, and a lot of them were doing jobs like that, and no one was actually working as a practicing artist. It really was a learning by doing experience, and I started selling work at a gallery in Tiuku. There was a little gallery in Tiuku, and very quickly she was selling a lot of work. It was reasonably priced. It didn't take me long to produce, and she was selling heaps of it. So that was also a big key point for me that, oh, yes, I can do this. And then that grew into having some galleries in Hamilton as well. And then that spread further afield. Yeah.
Wow, that's so amazing. And I've actually read on your website that you've sent already over 1,000 originals all around the world. How does that make you feel?
Well, I didn't really think about it at the time, and it's more than that. I didn't really think about it at the time. It's one of those things that you sit back and reflect on. And also, like, I was a mum with a dependent in tow, and this is where the money was coming from. So I was never considering myself to be wildly successful. I felt like I was much more on a treadmill trying to keep up with the needs and the bills. So I wasn't, I certainly didn't have that view of myself. It was amazing when I actually thought about it and looked at my sort of portfolio of images and, realised that that's how many it had been. For the past decade, I've had a gallery in Queenstown. A bit longer than that, but the gallery that I've been in one gallery for a decade, and I have to say that I've found that some artists, they like to have their work widely spread, but I've always found it's better to build a good relationship with one or two galleries and have the work flowing through the gallery so it's not sitting there for long. Also, I don't like doing solo shows. I'm a fairly private person. I'm not really one for the limelight. So I don't like doing solo shows. And also, again, probably from having a dependent, I didn't want to be managing a budget where I was making a lot of money all at once and then having to budget that. So being a stock artist where I just produce work and put it on the courier and send it away and it just flowed, that suited me a whole lot better because the money just kept flowing in as the work kept flowing out. And forming good relationships with just a couple of people was so much easier for me than having to manage my work widespread. And manage a whole lot of relationships, and the work would come back to you. You know, it was better to keep the energy and the flow of energy really good in a few places rather than, or one or two places rather than all over the show. So that's what I've done. So Julia never sends back a painting down in Queenstown. She sells them all.
Amazing. That's amazing.
She's always that. She's wonderful. Like, mm-hmm. and I never ask her, you know, I don't even worry about the money with Julia. She's just so honest and reliable. So I don't even have to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
The money turns up in the bank mm-hmm. account, and that's, you know, that's all I need to know.
It's amazing. You're already talking a lot about the business, that art can also be a business, because you need to have that income. A lot of people don't think about art being a business, and it's very special that you do it full time as well. I think for a lot of people it's a hobby or something on the side. What has been the biggest challenge doing art as a business?
It's taken me a long time not to worry about the money.
Mm-hmm.
I realized that I did worry about the money a lot. I didn't need to worry about the money. I was actually talking with a friend. We've known each other we went to school together, and then we lived together in the Bay of Plenty in a little house mm-hmm. out in the country that didn't have any hot water, that by a river.
Mm-hmm.
And we're both really, really creative types, and she's in Australia now. And we were having this conversation. She ended up being the CEO of a big organisation that looked after people with disabilities, and she's moved away from that now, and she's doing something creative herself.
Mm.
I was sort of giving the analogy that, you know, with the money, it's like, why are you, it used to feel a little bit like, you know, dancing around on a tightrope, but it's like, you've been dancing around on a tightrope for years, why are you worried that you're going to fall off? You know, you don't fall off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're really good at dancing around on a tightrope. Mm. So why are you, you know, what are you concerned about? And I kind of think it was more like that. But also, it's taken me a long time to give myself permission, if you like, to allow myself more income. I know that sounds really stupid, mm-hmm. but it's just so, it was, I don't know why it was so deeply ingrained in me. Not to stick my head up too far, you know, in our Kiwi culture, or someone might come along and, you know, bash you with a mallet, which was, I guess, my experience a lot. So I just, yeah, I did kind of keep a lid on myself way too much, and it's taken me ages to realise I'm allowed to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
Be as successful as you want.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. But I worried too much about the money.
Yeah.
I'd say that's the biggest hurdle, was mm-hmm. not just feeling confident and not allowing myself success.
Mm.
Yeah, which is a battle within yourself, really.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Maybe that's also something that a lot of women face, that they feel like they need to belittle themselves and, you know, not take over the stage or the spotlight.
Yeah definitely. So... I wasn't very good at the green-eyed monster. I didn't really understand jealousy. It wasn't an emotion I felt. I think the first time I really understood jealousy, I was 40 and I was jealous about a man. So until then I hadn't really understood what was driving people when they were attacking me.
Mm-hmm.
And... then I learned about the green-eyed monster from my own experience, and then I was like, now I understand. And I had more empathy for people that needed to take a swipe, whereas before it had just been an anathema to me. I couldn't get my head around it, and I used to take it very personally.
Mm-hmm.
But after that experience, I understood now what was driving them. Such a negative emotion. That was another learning curve for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I think being single had a lot to do with that as well. I think I felt vulnerable in quite a lot of ways. Yeah,
especially with a kid.
You
have one son, right?
I needed this to work. I either needed this to work or I needed to go back to teaching.
Mm.
And I didn't want to do that. I never really fitted into a system.
And like you said earlier already, so one motivation also was to be able to stay in Raglan, to stay in your family badge out at Whale Bay. And I think that's one of the main themes of my radio show as well, that people come to Raglan and they want to make it work somehow. Have you worked in any other places, or do you really just work out at Whale Bay?
Yeah, no, I can take my work with me. Oh, so yeah, I do. I do like to travel, especially down south, obviously, because I paint southern landscapes a lot. So, yeah, I mean, I've done a couple of residencies down there too. One with the Mackenzie Country Arts Council, and then a private one through a motel down there. So, but I've also got a batch over at Rotorua in the Bay of Plenty, and I'll take work over there and work over there. So I mean, it's pretty portable. It all, you know, I can put paint and canvases in the car and work from anywhere really. So yeah, last summer I did some work down at a friend's place in Gizzy. So yeah, it's really portable. I like going and being in other places. Nothing quite compares to being, you know, in your own space where you've sort of got built up years of energy in that that environment. Nothing sort of compares to that, but I do like taking my work with me and going to other places around the country. Yeah, for sure,
that makes sense, especially in landscape painting. I guess you get a lot of inspiration from other places.
Yeah, well, a lot of the time I just take my camera.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, and then yeah, I guess there's quite a lot of reflection in my work. It's not immediate. Yeah, it is just stylized and distilled. So yeah, a lot of photos are involved, and I just had a picture in my head of driving down to the Central North Island Plateau, which we did a lot. Me and Zach used to have season passes to the mountains, so we'd be up and down that road a lot. And Zach was great because he didn't mind. He really understood about mum works. And, yeah, so he knew that stopping and taking photos every step of the way was part of mum's job, and he never used to complain about that. So, yeah, there would be a lot of stopping on the – there's always a lot of – if you go anywhere with me, there's always a lot of stopping on the side of the road and taking photographs. And I've got thousands of them, yeah. So, yeah, I've got thousands of them, and I use them for reference, yeah.
I think it was during the Raglan Arts Weekend when I visited your studio out at Whale Bay, and you said you just recently got a printer and you're now doing prints. How's that going?
That happened during COVID, and I would really recommend to artists, you know, that if you want to do prints, get your own printer. It gives you creative control, and you'll start using the printer like a creative tool, you know, and playing with your images. Like a printer will generally, like a person that's printing them for you will generally try and make the print look as close to the original as possible, and that's the name of the game. And then quite often it'll be a limited run of 100 or however many you choose. Whereas I do, there's no limit on my images. I keep reproducing them as long as people want them, and I play with my images, you know. I don't feel restrained to make it look like the original at all, so I enjoy playing with the images, and I make them, yeah, and I've loved making my own prints. It makes it so — It just simplifies the process, you know. It simplifies the process, and it means that I can offer them at an affordable price. So, yeah.
And you're also offering merch on your website. I saw that.
Yeah, I don't do as much merch as I used to do, because merch turned into an unwieldy, not very well-behaved beast in my life. I couldn't keep track of the merch. I don't like doing the books. A lot of the stuff was out in commission. I would not remind people that they owed me money, and I actually hated to do it. I'd rather not get paid. So yeah, all of that I did not like. So I did love selling them at the market directly to people, and I've been a bit backwards in my art career, because I was actually like gallery before I did any local creative markets. Most people sort of go the other way around, but I like being at the local market because I like the influence of the other creatives and just the vibe of it. And just, being one-on-one with people that are buying stuff. And that's where I really enjoyed doing the merchandise. So, you know, made boots and all sorts of things. And, yeah, a lot of locals loved that. And the cushion covers, yeah, I just scaled that back. I didn't manage. I'm not really a businesswoman. I understood it was that I had to do it if I wanted to be an artist, but I'm not a businesswoman, and the merch was turning me into a businesswoman, and it just wasn't me. So the printer's way better. It's way easier to manage the prints than it is to manage merchandise for me. And it fits more, I guess it fits more in with galleries and so on than merchandise does. So
it's so nice to hear that you stayed down to earth and stay connected with the community and you like one-on-one. How does the community here in Raglan inspire you or support you in your journey?
I really enjoy it. Just throwing up some trestle tables, and Ulo's been great about having me outside their place. And I like just throwing up trestle tables and interacting with people who are looking or purchasing prints. And I've sold paintings downtown just off trestle tables. I love being distant from where the art's being sold with the Queenstown thing, but I like casual one-on-one experiences, chatting about it. And that's, I guess, what that gives me. So, yeah, that's what I know that a lot of people are like. A lot of galleries probably wouldn't consider having me because I behave like this, but I enjoy it, so I do. You know, so I do it. And it just keeps me connected and grounded, and it's nice and relaxed.
And I guess Raglan Arts Weekend is one of the big weekends on your calendar. Is there any new projects or ideas or directions coming up for the next year?
No, I think I'm just going to carry on doing it the way I do it because it's in a really happy, manageable rhythm. The Arts Weekend does lead on to other things, so I find that it generates a new lot of people that are interested in my art. So, which again, even though I don't sell the majority of the work, it's enough to keep me connected and getting feedback from people that are purchasing the work. So some people emailed me this morning that purchased some work during the Arts Weekend. And they've got a family member out from Australia. So they're coming this afternoon. The family member has seen the painting they now want to have a look and see. So that kind of, I find the Arts Weekend does that. It keeps me connected to a Waikato audience, which I wouldn't be otherwise, really. I did have work left over from the Arts Week, and I made an effort this year. Quite often it's just whatever happens to be there, whereas this year I actually made an effort and did some Waikato landscapes for it. And the unsold ones have gone to In Spirit Gallery, which is in Tamahere, so on the other side of Hamilton. So, it kind of has an outward flow from the Arts Weekend itself, it does bring me people from the Waikato that I'm dealing with one-on-one.
That's so nice that you invite them to your batch and your studio.
It makes me clean up because I'm a really messy person. I don't have any standards, very basic hygiene standards. You know, could probably go and live in a go visit third world countries and not get anything, you know. I'm not a very tidy person, you know. And I don't care, and I don't care. So I only care when all of a sudden when someone's coming to visit. So it's quite good having people come to visit because it does make me clean up. So yeah.
Do you have open studios sometimes?
The only open studio I do is the Arts Weekend. Yeah. And I kind of, every year Nicole goes, no, you have to do it. Because I sort of think, oh, do I really want to do this? Like, you know, it really is a messy little batch. And the Arts Trail is getting more and more recognised and more upmarket every year. And I kind of feel like this little oddity, you know, sitting out there in Whale Bay. And I'm not, you know, but Nikki always goes, no, people love it. You can't, you know, you've got to do the Arts Trail. Got to do it. And I sort of think, oh, I could, you know, do it in town somewhere. No, you've got to do it at the batch. So,
I have to say, your studio was one of my favourite ones. And I think mess is part of the creative journey, right?
It's just one of those things that I know that I'm really good at focusing. So I can just focus with a whole lot of distractions, and I can focus regardless, really, of what's going on around me. And yeah, the mess, I don't even see it until someone's coming to visit. And then all of a sudden I'm just ultra aware of it, you know, and I'm kind of, I'm a bit hard on myself about it, but yeah.
We're coming to the end of the episode. I have one last question. Is there anything else you want to mention before we finish off?
I've been doing this for 20 years. There's a lot of things I could mention. I do like mentoring people in a really casual, informal way.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there's a lot I could say about how to make it work.
How does that mentoring look like? Is it also one-on-one, or do you have online classes?
No, I don't do anything formal. It's just when people approach me.
That's amazing. Yep. Maybe now after this interview, people will approach you.
Well, I feel like there's so many things I could say about how to make it work as an artist, you know, with 20 years of experience and all the different avenues there are to make it work. One of the great things about art is that you make it work in a way that suits your personality, and there is a myriad of ways of doing it, as many ways to do it as there are artists. So I think that's the main thing about it. It's like teaching again. Like, I was never one of those people that, you know, has got a standard way of wanting to do things. It's more about the learner and making things fit the learner. And I think it's the same with making it work as an artist. It's about making it work for an individual, and them identifying how to make it work for them and their personality. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So for anyone out there right now who's listening and who wants to build a career in art, you can reach out to Miranda and ask how to make it work.
Yeah, I like doing that. I like encouraging people. I like seeing them succeed. I can think of a few are popping into my head now. And quite often, it's not a whole lot of input that I've given at the beginning, but it's been enough to give them the confidence that they can do it.
So my last question, which also really fits well right now, what's one advice you would give someone who wants to start a career in art?
I think it's about consistency, diligence. Well, for me, I'm just an intuitive person, you know. I believe in a loving creator. So for me, I felt prompted and led to do it, that I could do it if I wanted to do it. I just need to do my bit and the doors would open and everything will happen. And it has. And I think really it's, if you know and you're knower, then yes, then all you need now is some tools and some opportunities. Yeah, and I think artists know who they are. It's allowing themselves to be artists, giving themselves permission to be artists, as opposed to be doing something else.
Thank you so much for coming. It was a really inspiring chat, Miranda.
Thank you, Annika.
You've been listening to How to Make It Work with me, Annika. Catch us live on Raglan Community Radio every Monday at 12:30, or listen anytime on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Until next time, keep finding your way and keep making it work.
This free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.